Today, I'm going to start with a reading from Proverbs. It's meant to sort of set up the message. Basically, the scripture, the sermon, and the message all have a thread that run through them. But it's not necessarily the most in-your-face kind of understanding, although it is a little bit. But anyway, that said, I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. So this is the setup for the wisdom book. I'm going to read from one of my favorites that many of you, if you've been watching, know about, the Inclusive Bible, which is put together by Priest for Equity or Equality. Hear now these words. The Proverbs of Solomon ben David, ruler of Israel. For women and men to learn wisdom and self-discipline and to understand words of enlightenment, to acquire the disciplines of being equitable, righteous, justice, and fairness, to instill confidence in the uneducated and knowledge in good sense into the young, to help wise women and men increase their learning, and to give greater guidance to discerning hearts, and to open the meanings of the proverbs and parables, the sayings of the sages and their riddles. When you stand in awe of Yahweh, that is when you begin to really understand. But to spurn wisdom and instruction is utter foolishness. May we add blessing, understanding to the reading of these words. My message today is entitled Faith, Knowing What You Don't Know. So, I believe that Christianity spent too much time shrinking God rather than growing its concept of God. And I believe that Giordano Bruno was right in 1593, as the Roman Inquisition, which no one suspects, tried him for heresy, for his lack of belief in eternal damnation, the Trinity, the divinity of Christ, the virginity of Mary, and the transubstantiation. He told the panel that were trying him that they worshiped, and I quote, a too small God. And I actually wrote a letter to this, about this, to a letter to the too small God. And it sort of went viral. And both Huffington Post, Time Magazine, online, they picked it up. And I want to share with you, just to begin with, a small part of what I said in it. Dear too small God, I've never heard of this Giordano Bruno fellow, but I like what he had to say when the institutional church of the day came after him for entertaining rational thought, thinking for himself, not towing the party line. He said, "Your God is too small." Now, frankly, in those five little words, he completely nailed the problem. Any understanding of God that cannot withstand questions and rational thought is a too small God, and that's you. I'm sorry. At least that's the version of you that far too many of your followers worship. From evolution to climate change, far too many of your followers are willing to sacrifice logic and reason for you. I never thought those were the kinds of sacrifices that pleased you. But Why would people want to worship something that frail and insecure? Don't get me wrong. I've tried to make space for you. Even long after I didn't believe in the too small version of you that they talked about every Sunday. I tried to make space for you, believing that, you know, we're all on different journeys, and the too small version of you that some people worshiped was okay for them, where they were on their spiritual journey. I was wrong. It's not okay. As a matter of fact, that version of you is so myopically infinitesimal in comparison to what a God worthy of worship would be that it begs to be put down for the betterment of humanity. That too small version of you, it hurts people. That version of you encourages one group to feel superior to others. It justifies self-righteousness, judgment, and it's not uncommon to see it lead to violence. You see, a God who could have stopped Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust, and didn't, it's not a God I can remain in relationship with. And a God that is so afraid of mere questions that people must be burned at the stake is not a God I can respect, more or less worship. A God who graces some lives with opportunities to win Oscars, while seemingly ignoring the 2.6 million children who die of hunger-related causes each year on a planet with more than enough food for everyone, is not a God who deserves honor, let alone worship. That God is a God of privilege. So it's a God designed to reinforce exceptionalism and justify the unjustifiable behavior of the powerful. That God is a God tailored, designed to make lemmings of his adherents to the point of denying reality and dismissing science for the sake of further propping up a bastardization of the God I believe that Jesus was trying to teach us about. So, it's over. We're finished. I simply can't make space for you any longer. I won't play nice. You need to go. You are too small of a God. Don't worry about me. I'll be just fine. It turns out there is a bigger God, full of love, compassion, and reveling in the questions, and a bit tired of the dogma and the sacrificial bleeding of reason. So that's a portion of what I wrote. I still believe it, and it inspired me to write my very own personal statement of faith. And every year or so, I revisit that statement of faith. It's sort of a checks and balances of how seriously I take my spiritual journey. You see, I happen to believe that if what you believe isn't changing from time to time, you're not taking it seriously. Honestly, for me, that means I should approach each writing or rewriting with humbleness and an open mind. I mean, if you yourself think what you believe just a year ago isn't quite right, and frankly, I think you should, just how many things in what you write this year might not be quite right as well. So we need humbleness, an open mind. That understanding led me once to write a three-word statement of faith. It simply read, "I don't know." I did eventually realize how sort of silly that was. I mean, a statement of faith is not about what you know. It's about what you think you know. So because of this, I'd like to share my statement of faith with you today. As I do about every year or so, I spent this past week reviewing it and reconsidering it. And this year, I didn't so much have a lot of changes as much as a lot of additions, which changed the meaning a little bit, I guess. Upon reflection, this past year has definitely been, well, it's been a year of expanding my understandings and expanding myself in many ways. So it really isn't surprising that there are more additions than changes and subtractions. Now, on a final note, you will hear me say, "I believe," many times. And it sort of meant as a reminder that I don't know. It's possible, or it's impossible, to know the unknowable. That is just about what I think I know in terms of a spiritual statement. It's just about what I think I know. And so, with that said, please indulge me as I share my personal statement of faith. This I believe. I believe that frequently the questions are more helpful than the answers. I believe that the fullest expression of God is life. And I believe that the fullest expression of how much we value God comes from how we live our lives, particularly in how we treat others, particularly in how we treat the marginalized. I believe that God is known by many names. No religion has exclusive rights for naming God. I believe that God is not a name. It is a label that points to that which we do not fully understand. I believe that religion is all religion, each of them is chasing the same God. Frequently, however, we are chasing different dimensions of God. So the deity we label may appear to be different deities, but they're not. Basically, same pizza, different slices. I believe that human intellectual limitations prevent us from seeing the fullness of God. We can, however, see the results of humanity expressing God: love, peace, hope, forgiveness, grace, inclusiveness, justice, equality. God surrounds us, is in us, is in others, and it connects us all. It's kind of like what Yoda had to say about the faith, about the Force. I believe that the life and teachings of Jesus shows us how to express God in our lives. And for me personally, the teachings of Jesus are the most instructive in expressing God. But others have taught about expressing God as well. And it is beneficial to be instructed by them as well. In Jesus, we see what a life lived expressing God looks like. And a key part of it is confronting the abuse of power out of love. Doing so cost him his life and showed us how far love will go for justice. I believe that we experience the movement of God on a daily basis throughout creation. And frequently we call that movement the Holy Spirit. It is given to doing its own thing and should not be taken lightly. I believe that belief alone is not enough. Belief is meaningless without action. And how that action benefits creation, all of it, is the surest indication of its validity and value. I believe that your theological outlook should be constantly changing. If it's not, you're not taking it seriously enough. Creeds and dogma betray this reality when taken at face value. Beliefs should be informed by sacred texts, spiritual guides, and life experience. All statements of faith should be continuous works in progress. This, I believe. Amen. Let's take a moment now, focus a little more inwardly, take some time in silence. It can be meditation. Like I say, you can kind of use it as a moment to just listen. Grab words, grab sounds, whatever's around you that has some meaning and leads you somewhere. Or you can join in this prayer I have. It's a prayer I wrote a while back, and I have revisited. Sojourners published it the first time around. It's entitled Prayer, Take From Me These Myths. Good and gracious God, today, like the rest of the world, when I woke up, I wrapped myself in myths. They are comfortable and warm in what can seem like such a cold world. They are old and worn, but they are familiar. And even the most fashion-forward find comfort in this thread-worn garb. They tell me that while it may not be fair that 8,500 children die from hunger every day, I can do really not much about it. They silence my own judgment of myself when I put a quarter in the cup of a homeless man as I walk on by the lack in his life to live into the abundance of mine. They tell me that the rich shall inherit the earth and that they will be beneficent rulers. The myth that I will wear tells me that giving to the rich is better than giving to those in need. So we as a nation heap blessings on the rich, expecting trickle down to make it rain on those of us below. Yet we remained drenched in our inability to pay the rent, pay for college, save for the future, at times even believe we have much of a future. So today, like the rest of the world, when I woke, I wrapped myself in myths. They're comfortable and warming, what can seem like an all too quiet, cold world. And yes, they are old and worn, but they are familiar, and even the most fashion forward find comfort in this thread-worn garb. They tell me that violence, while abhorrent, is inescapable, a part of the reality of life, that violence is the path we must travel to find peace. And religion reinforces this myth of redemptive suffering, suggesting that suffering builds character, that you, O God, won't give us more than we can handle. And it ignores the reality of those who end their lives because this world can sometimes be too much to handle. Even in the names we use, we see how we believe this myth. The world calls one of humanity's most violent acts the Holocaust, which means sacrifice by fire, suggesting that there is or might be something good or even of God in it. Those whose lives it destroyed call it Hashoah, the calamity. So I wrap myself in mists. They are comfortable and warming in what can seem like such a cold world. And yes, they are old and worn, but they are familiar, and even the most fashion-forward find comfort in this thread-worn garb. They tell me that the least of these deserve what they get, that but for the grace of God, there go I, believing that somehow, God's grace falls more abundantly on me. They tell me that I must shut off who God created me to be and to live into an image that the world expects of me, because who I am on the inside won't be accepted on the outside. They tell me that some are created less equal in God's eyes and don't deserve the same rights as the rest of us, that they should be punished for being their own unique reflection of their Creator. Loving God, may I learn to lose these earthly garbs. For not only are they old and thread-worn, but they reek. They stink of the stench of power, money, and greed. They have the foul odor of prestige, self-importance, and control. They fill my nostrils with an offensive aroma that smacks of a history of abuse, belittlement, and gain. They exude with the suffering they let me ignore. They ooze with the memories of the blood that has been lost. They smell to high heaven and point to my complicity in the lies of this world. Redeeming God, may I learn to lose these robes of myth. I wish to walk blindly no longer. I wish to breathe in the brilliance of creation, experience the connectedness of life, open myself to new realities and possibilities, to soak in the exquisite mysteries of life, and to love with reckless abandon. Amen.